Heavenly Father, we recognize this morning that you are God. You're not just our God, but you are the God of this world, the God of this universe, the God of all things. There is no other God. You are our Lord and our King. And this morning, we come before you, I pray, in complete surrender to your will for our lives. Is there anybody here this morning who's not expectant? I think last week I picked on the worship team because they kept saying a couple of words which I was going to preach about. And this morning I'll pick on Renee because one of her first sentences was, "We are here this morning expectant." And this morning I'm going to be sharing about an unexpected kingdom. I mentioned it there last week. But I think generally speaking, everybody in this room in some way, at some time, is expectant. You're expecting me to do something, to share a message even right now, aren't you? You came to church this morning expectant of something, that something might happen, something might take place. We all, I pray, hopefully come here this morning expectant that we will meet the living God in a different way than what we might do at home. We come here expectant of fellowship. We come expectant to meet our friends, our brothers and sisters. We come because there's something actually different about going to church than what we'd have in our normal day. Is that right? Yes. Well, why on earth are you here if it's not? Yeah. We come believing, which causes in us an expectation. I'm the kind of person who would expect certain people to walk through that door in a particular way. I'm expectant of people behaving in particular ways because that's what they are. And I'm sure that you guys have an expectation of me sometimes. Or Loretta or someone else, don't we? Yeah? We kind of frame things like that. So it's not something that we should be afraid of. It's not something I believe which we should carry lightly. But what happens when our expectations aren't met? How do we react? How do we behave? When individuals, when friends, when family don't meet our expectations, when church leaders don't meet our expectations, when God doesn't meet our expectations, but yet we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done." Amen? So, this morning, I'm expecting that you're all going to sit back, strap in, get ready for whatever God is going to do this morning, and not Steve Hamer. Amen? Amen, amen. I'm actually going to share a few verses, okay? Because like I said there last week, this is something that I kind of prepared last year because I thought I was expecting that this was going to be a lead up to Christmas message. But actually, it's perfect, I think, for this is the first Sunday of the year message as well, okay? So here it goes. All right? I've called this an unexpected kingdom. An unexpected kingdom, okay? All right? Do we kind of have an expectation on how a king might behave, yeah? How a king might enter a room. You know, if we're here and the king was to walk through the door there, I got a pretty good expectation on how it might happen. We'd have fanfares, trumpets blasting, flags waving, guards standing to attention, okay? Right, I'm going to say the FBI, but MI6 or whoever might come in here. The secret police would come in here, clear the room, check everything, right? Everything would be perfect before the king would walk through that door. And when he did, we would behave like his subjects. Okay? We have a particular expectation, don't we? All right. So what I'd like to do this morning is take a look at a few scriptures which relate to Jesus's kingship. Jesus's kingship. And consider his behavior in the light of what we might expect him to behave. Because this is what we're talking about, really, isn't it? His kingship. We all love the Jesus who's lovable. I'm not being funny, but sometimes people can sort of have this idea of Jesus being cuddly and, yeah, best friend. He's all those things, but yet he is also our king. And as king, he has a right to behave in any way that he desires. So, let's go. Let's go on a bit of a journey through the Gospels, okay? I'll read out the scripture reference, and I'm just going to read the scripture. And each one is fairly short, but each one particularly highlights an aspect of his kingship. Okay? So, Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 33 says this, "And the angel said to her," this is to Mary now, okay? "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So, I'm pretty sure that this wasn't what the young lady Mary, who was recently engaged, was expecting. What would you expect? Okay. Might be something to do as we go through this. There's six passages I'm just going to touch on, okay, and read out, okay? If you want to, close your eyes and imagine the scene and then almost picture yourself there, okay, if you can. Because I'm going to ask a very simple question after each one, okay? So was this what Mary was expecting? If you were there, would it be something that you would be expecting? Okay. Next one. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?'" Kyle did a brilliant message there the other day, all about the wise men, and certain things that they were expecting because of the prophetic promises and things like that, okay? But I still have it in my head that they weren't expecting what they found completely. Why did they go to Herod and not go straight to Bethlehem? I think they had a certain expectation of what they were going to find. A new born king. What would you have expected? Matthew 21, verse 1. "Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming. Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" Now, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the impression I get by the time that this is happening was that the disciples and the followers of Jesus had a particular expectation of what he might do and how he might behave and how he would come into Jerusalem. Did he do it? No. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was probably not what the people of the day, nor his disciples, anybody else's idea of what they might have expected him to do. Do you know what question's coming next? What would you have expected? It's a very simple sermon, this one. John chapter 18, verse 33 to 36. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world. Everybody at the day was hoping that his kingdom would be of this world. And I actually get a sense as well that so many people go to church because they're hoping that his kingdom is of this world in a fashion that they expect it to be. Pilate couldn't make head nor tail of this guy called Jesus. Could he? He thought he was a clever old fella, did Pilate? But he couldn't make head nor tail of this Jesus, okay? Jesus most certainly wasn't what he would have expected from a king. What would you have expected? John chapter 19, verse 16 to 19. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now, can you honestly tell me that the religious leaders, that the Roman soldiers and all the people gathered around the cross were expecting that this is the way that a king should behave? To surrender himself completely and utterly to the most horrendous death possible. I believe there was a few people there that day who were shocked. What would you have expected? Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, we have the benefit of the prophetic nature of Scripture. We have hindsight, don't we? We can look back and go, yes, this was written about him. And if we read the Scriptures, to a degree, we can go, and yes, this is what we believe. This is what we expect to happen. This is how we expect him to come back. But it doesn't give us the whole picture, does it? And yet I suspect that we are formulating in our minds a particular view and mindset about how it's going to happen. People have been doing that since day one. And I believe that some of us, many of us probably, in fact, almost most of us, will in some way be surprised when our expectations aren't realized. What are you expecting this morning? Jesus has a habit of doing the unexpected, doesn't he? I have yet to hear a sermon that I completely expected. I've yet to go to church and experience a church experience which I completely expected. I had an inkling on how it might be, but it didn't always turn out. I didn't come here this morning expecting Renee and Natasha to sing for us in that fashion. Wow. I wasn't expecting the other Renee there to turn around and say we're all expectant the way that she did. So I tell you what, I'm pretty expectant now that God is going to be doing something. And it doesn't depend on what I think or what I say, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will touch each one of our hearts the way that he desires to do so. The question is this morning, are we open to be surprised this year? Are we open to be surprised by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one and only true and living God? Or are we going to dictate how he should behave in our lives this year? What are you expecting this morning? I'm just going to read what I wrote, actually. Jesus has a habit of doing the unexpected. He entered into this world and he entered into his kingdom in the most unexpected of ways. I couldn't have written that. Right? He never sought riches, prestige, position, or earthly power like any other normal king. To those who knew they were trapped in sin, he showed love and mercy, grace and forgiveness instead of judgment and condemnation. To those who thought of themselves as righteous, he exposed their hearts. To those who expected nothing, he offered everything, and still does. Who on earth would have thought that he, God, would come down from his heavenly throne room, exposing himself to the brutality of this world, to die in my place, in our place? Is it Ephesians or Philippians? Is it there? I'm just trying to get it right now. And he loved us this much that even when we didn't even know that we needed him, he died for us. Now, as a young man, I certainly wasn't expecting that. And I certainly wasn't expecting that the solution to my problems was there, available for me. But yet it was. Here we go. Let's carry on. All right. Okay. So, exposing himself. So he came down from his throne room in heaven, exposing himself to the brutality of this world, to die in my place and our place in the most repulsive manner. And then to top it off, he doesn't stay in the grave. Did you? They certainly wasn't expecting that, were they? Yeah. Have you ever seen a royal funeral? Pretty fancy occasions, really, aren't they? Everybody gathered around. Man, his was totally opposite. Tell me, what would you have expected? I certainly wouldn't have expected that. And this is why. as we start this new year, and virtually everybody, I expect, will be looking back and wondering about the year that's just gone. Some of you may be making New Year's resolutions. I actually don't like doing that. Doesn't mean to say you can't. Okay. But I look back to last year and the year before, and I will be absolutely honest with you and frank with you. I wasn't expecting to be in the position that I'm in today. Not at all. I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory and go according to plan. My plan. But it didn't. Now, I'm not going to blame God for everything. We live in a world which behaves in ways that we don't expect, doesn't it? People move around us outside of our control. I tell you what, I am not controlling what's going on in the Middle East at the moment. And quite a lot of us are probably formulating certain expectations in our minds about how it's going to turn out. Wouldn't it be shocking if it didn't turn out the way that we're expecting? So here I find myself now, Steve Hamer, sharing this word with you, when quite honestly I thought I would be something that I'm not today. This church is not the church that I was expecting it to be 2 years ago or even 1 year ago. And this country is not the same country that I was expecting it to be. And certainly there are things which have happened in this world which I absolutely was not expecting. How about you? We've just entered into a new year, 2020. Did anybody not know that? Okay, we're all alive. I've seen some jokes about 2020 vision, so I'm proclaiming that. So my eyes, my wife's eyes, my son's eyes. Anybody got eye problems? 2020 vision. I want God to surprise me in that one. There we go. So my question for you this morning, and my question for you for the rest of the year, okay? Because I really do believe that this is a prophetic question for each one of us for this year. Are you open? Am I open to being surprised by God? Now, I didn't just tag that in after our experiences over the last few days. I wrote that at the end of last year, to be honest. And Loretta and I have been joking with a number of friends and things like that, okay, a number of you, as we've experienced the first few days of this year, the number of surprises that we've had. Dripping toilets, hallway floors not being pristine as we thought we'd hoped they would be, so it'd be easier to lay a new floor in the hallway. Oh no, we were surprised by what we had to do underneath. We've experienced a number of things these last few days which we totally were not expecting. And quite honestly, when we expect things, we set our mind on a particular course. It's because, if you think about it, we want to be in control, don't we? Can we be honest with ourselves this morning? Do we want to be in control of the path that God, we want God to lead us on this year? We want to know. I shared a message on this a few years ago, I think it is. Right? We say, Lord, give me the keys for the door that you want to bring me through. My response was, why do we even need to know what the door looks like? Because we want to know what the door looks like and have the keys so that we can prepare ourselves before we go through into the path that's laid out beyond us, so that we can be in control. Where God is actually calling us, I do believe, to step one step at a time, listening one step at a time to him saying, this is the way, walk in it, when we desire to turn to the left or the right. I believe it's a human nature to be expectant. And I don't actually think that we like to be surprised all the time. We like nice surprises. We all love Christmas because there's going to be surprises. These days, I don't think it's quite much surprise because we actually tell people what we want for Christmas. And we're expectant that it will be there wrapped up under the tree. And I'm sure we'll be disappointed if it's not there. Okay? I think we need to be expectant because that gives us hope. And hope, I think Hebrews tells us, I'm not sure exactly what the word is, but someone tell me exactly what that word says. Hope is the anchor for the soul. Yeah, it's around about that area. I'm thinking Hebrews 12. Is it faith is the substance. That's it. Faith is the substance of things which are hoped for in the kingdom, isn't it? Okay. Oh, that. You know, we can have blind faith or blind hope or blind expectancy. But I believe that we're expectant because we're told that these things will come to pass. But I don't believe that we necessarily need to know all the details. I'm convinced in the big picture of things, Jesus will return. And he will take those who have given their lives to him and accepted him, not only as their loving Savior, but as their Lord and King, to be with him for eternity. And we have that hope. The Holy Spirit within us fills us with this faith and this desire and this expectancy to see this happen. Would we be surprised if it doesn't happen this year? I think a lot of us would be extremely surprised if it happened this year. Yeah, 'cause we got plans, haven't we? Yeah. But Jesus is the King who doesn't always do as we expect. So are we open to being surprised this year? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. But he will be there right beside you every step of the way, every choice, every decision, every outcome, every unexpected happening, he'll be right beside you going, right, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How's this going to turn out? And in those not quite so pleasant surprises, I believe that he's still right there beside us, saying, come on, Steve, this is the way. Walk in it. Come on, church. This is the way. Let's walk in it together. And even when the government, and even when families don't behave quite as we expect, Jesus is there. Hang on. Come on. I'm still here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust me. So was this the message you expected? I'd like to finish with a word of encouragement. Let's not be too harsh on people this morning, eh? Loretta and I never expected that we would have two sons. Why? Because we were told that we couldn't. And the verse that we were given at the birth of our first was this. And it's not just for us, it's for all of us. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If life hasn't turned out quite how you expected, don't worry. Today is a new day. This is the beginning of a new week. It is the beginning of a new year. And I do expect that he is and will continue to be. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the one and only true God, who will one day, don't have to worry about it just yet, one day he will return and we will be with him. And all those questions that we have, all those uncertainties that are there, will be wiped away as we see him face to face and know him fully for who he is and who we are in him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Can I just invite the worship team, Renee and Loretta, come back up? I'd love to finish with that song there. He's the God of this Dungarvan. Yeah? And then we'll close, okay? Mm. Mm.